You know, I'm sure that most of you can remember as a little child, at one time or another, or a whole bunch of times or whatever, you were afraid of the dark. I know I was. I was born on a farm just outside of Cincinnati in an area called Bridgetown. That's in Green Township. And the house that I was born in was a big two-story home that was about 120 years old at that time on this old farm there. And at that time, that was really way out in the country. It's about, 15 miles or so out of the center of Cincinnati, out in, on the west side of the city of Cincinnati there. We were out in the country. And now the whole area is filled with subdivisions. In fact, Sarah, Huey Breedlove, right here with us, her mom and dad's house is just one street over from where I was born. So it is a small world. I guess they still live there, don't they? All right. And now for the rest of the story about being afraid of the dark. At that time, way out there in the country, we did not have city water. We had a pump that we had to pump from a well, and our restroom was not indoors. It was a little house out back, as some of you may have experienced as well, too. And as a little child in the middle of the night, if you had to make a trip to that little house, especially on a cold winter night, you went pretty fast to begin with. But if you had a flashlight that the batteries were a little bit weak or went out, it got kind of scary out there. You know, especially for a little kid going out there by himself. And so you can really appreciate some kind of a light that you would have to see which way you're going to get out out there and back without falling down or, you know, tripping over something or whatever. And we really appreciate any kind of form of light that we have. And it's the same way for us today as well, too. These are all physical forms of light that penetrates the darkness, that allows us to see which way we're going and everything. But today I want to talk about the light of life. Totally different thing other than the physical darkness that I was talking about, than physical light. After our Heavenly Father has called us, you know, what a wonderful blessing that is, just in itself, of course, is to be called and to know God's truth. And He gives us His light, His spiritual light, His spiritual truth to guide and direct us. And we have to have that willing heart. That willing heart, after He calls us and invites us to look into it, we have to have a willing heart to seek that light and to want to follow it. And at that time, then he will take the scales off of our eyes so that we have understanding and to be able to understand the light of His truth that will lead us completely through our entire life. I was talking earlier about Mrs. Allen, 103 years old. For decades, I didn't look exactly when she began church, but it was from the beginning here in the Nashville area, of course. But for decades, she has been following that light of life that God has been directing her in. She has been faithful. And this world that we're struggling through, we definitely need direction. We definitely need light. I appreciate Tim Franke's sermonette. A lot of the things he talks about is tying right in here as well, too. But we need that direction, that right direction of God's spiritual truth, that light of life. Well, once our eyes have been opened, we can see a big contrast between God's truth and the darkness of Satan's lies. And, oh, there are many. And we are being taught to choose rightly between the light of life or the darkness that Satan is broadcasting out there. We are to live God's way of life. He has a wonderful opportunity for us forever. But learning his character and learning how to think as he does, we need direction. We need the light of his truth to follow. And we can't just have that, just say, well, you know, I want that, or I'm going to take that. It has to be a calling from God to take the scales off of our eyes, to show us exactly what direction that we need to be going. There are many, many people, as we know, that are out there, even on TV and on the radio, that are thinking that they're preaching God's good news, but they have scales over their eyes. You can see that contrast when you hear the words that they are speaking or see them on TV. There is a big contrast. They don't know the truth. God's light, his truth, if we are willing to follow it, leads us to eternal life. And like I mentioned, we can see that big difference between that and Satan's darkness. Satan's darkness is a deception. It's one of his tricks to lead people down the path to eternal death, which, on the other hand, God's eternal truth, the light that he is showing us, will lead us to everlasting life. Now, the reason why Satan is doing that, he is in total rebellion against God. And he will play every trick that he can think of to cause Christians to stumble, especially Christians that have been called. We the saints that Tim was talking about, that we know God's truth. We know his plan. We know how he wants us to go. And Satan is right there to try to make us stumble and make us fall. But once our eyes are open, it makes us, again, wonder sometimes why these so-called educated scholars of the Bible that you're seeing here on TV and radio, why in the world can't they understand when they read the black and white? To be able to read what is printed in the Bible. They read over the words, but their eyes are covered. Their eyes and their hearts are covered. Which goes back to our calling again. What a wonderful blessing that we need to be taking full advantage of every day, that we need to be thinking about. But these people will fall hook, line, and sinker even after they read the words, and they believe the traditions of men. Just as Tim was talking about there, they change the doctrines to fit them. Whatever pleases them is what they want to hear. Satan is leading them down the dark path, down into the darkness, into hopefully death is what Satan's plan is. But they fall right in line with the rest of the world, and they are giving worship to Satan's pagan customs and holidays, which are the teachings that are, you know, they're trying to make you believe that evil is good and to follow God's way would be wrong. It's all a big deception, and all the counterfeits that Satan is trying to pull on people. If you are not called by God, you will fall right into it. And even if you are called by God, if you are slothful and unappreciative of the calling that God has given you, you will fall right into it as well too. Satan is doing his best to hurt God's people. But we also know that, you know, it takes the power of God's Holy Spirit. It takes his Holy Spirit to be working with us, in and through us, to give us that right direction and to teach us and show us right from wrong. We know that it takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God to convict a sinner. We have to have that understanding what is wrong, and to be able to see that sin hurts, sin will kill. And we have to choose rightly. We don't want to be living in darkness. But God is showing us with his light, the light of his truth, if we have that desire and that willing heart to follow it. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we are to walk in the light of life. And he tells us here that he is the light of the world. But the key is, are we following him? Are we following Jesus Christ, the example that we are to be following? God speaks to us in very, very plain words. Once the scales are taken off of our eyes and we can understand what God is teaching us, he talks to us in very, very plain words. It's not hard to understand if that's the case, but we can see the difference. If God hasn't called someone, they can be educated all they want to be in the seminaries or whatever and still not understand what God wants them to know. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, test all things. That means to prove all things from God's word. God's word is truth. We do that from the Bible that God has provided us with, to be able to read it and to understand it. And to follow it is what he wants us to do and what we should be thinking about constantly and not holding back. And then the second part of that, it says, hold fast what is good. Well, what is good? The doctrines that God is teaching us. They haven't changed since he wrote them for us. Like Tim was saying there in the sermonette, down through the ages, there's always been somebody trying to add to it or take something away. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did that too as well. They wanted to have power over the people, and they also had a whole lot of pride in them. A whole lot of pride to say, well, you know, I'm more educated in this than you are, so therefore I will tell you what to do. And I will change this if I feel like it. No. God makes it very, very plain, and we are to prove all things ourselves. He wants us not to take somebody's word for anything. You know, you can talk with somebody sometime, and the inflection in their voice can even change the meaning. So we are to open up the Bible and to read it ourselves. And then in verse 22, it says, abstain from every form of evil. Getting back to the contrast of things there between light and God's light and the darkness of Satan, we are to abstain from every form of evil. And God makes it very plain for us to be able to see that difference. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to choose rightly. He wants us to hold fast what is good. Hold fast what is good. And abstain from every form of evil. He shows us very plainly what we should be doing. In the New Living Translation, it puts it this way. Jesus said to the people, I am the light of the world. If, the big preposition if is always there, if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness. This world is confusing and evil, and there's all kinds of stimuli trying to drag us away from God's truth. But we won't be stumbling through the darkness of this world if we are staying close to God's truth, his doctrines, his love for us, in the calling he has given us, taking the scales off of our eyes. He wants us. He loves us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be in his family. We don't want to be stumbling through the darkness because we have the light of God's truth in us, but we need to take advantage of it. We can't be holding back. God is showing us how to get through this life, and it is a stumbling mess. There are so many things that are going on in the world right now. If you sit around and think about it, it kind of makes you think, well, you know, it's going to be over any day. Well, God says it's not going to be over any day. There are prophecies that we can read about and understand. If we are seeking a close relationship with God, that's the key right there. have that close relationship with God, and that means putting our full trust in God. We get into trouble with all the cares of this world, and it can make us get down and depressed. And what happens at that point? Well, we start thinking, well, I need to think about this and have a different plan myself. That's when we really get into trouble. And you'll see people walking around, supposedly, that knows God's truth, where they have started depending on themselves, and they will have a gloomy outlook. Is what God wants us to do is to give our cares and our obedience to Him, to God. We really can't do much on our own. Again, anytime we try to handle our problems all by ourselves, we really go down the wrong path. We're going down the path that Satan is leading you down, because he is going to guarantee that you're going to crash and not win. Guaranteed. And he will lead you astray if you allow him to. God wants us to choose rightly. He wants us to follow the light of his of life that he is providing for us. Before you let yourself get into any deep spiritual problems, make it burned in your mind that you're going to call on God and you're going to turn your problems over to him. You can't sit and try to figure out the solutions yourself, because there are spiritual forces that are constantly working against you. Satan and his demons are far more powerful than us. We are made much lower than the angels, much lower. And we don't want to get beat up by them. We need to call on God, ask God to fight our battles for us, explain your problems in detail to God, and have that close relationship. He's our Father. He is our parent. He's the one that created us. And of course, we have read this scripture over and over. Jesus made it extremely plain when he said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he made it very, very plain. He said, look, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me. What's it mean to abide? To have that close relationship in trust and obedience. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Much fruit? That much fruit that we need is God's faith that we can obtain by having that close relationship and by doing our Bible study and drinking in that spiritual food. That's the trust that we need, is to be able to call on our Heavenly Father with any problem that we have and say, I'm not strong. I can't do it myself. I need you to help me and to guide me with the light of your truth. For he says, for without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. That's pretty blunt. For without me, you can do nothing. So why do we want to beat our brains out trying to figure things out ourselves and make a plan to escape any other problem or whatever, when we can go to God and have him to work it out for us? He wants things to work out good for us, but we have to trust him and depend on him to do that. Let's try to remember that when we are trying to solve any problems that we have. Over and over again, we will go to God on our knees. Help me with this. Help me with that. I got this problem here, that problem there. And when the problems mount up, they kind of overtake you. They overtake you, and then you'll start just getting tired and lazy, and your prayers kind of get short. You are not depending on God. You're thinking, well, you know, he's probably not going to answer me anyway. Yes, he will, and yes, he does. He wants to see what is written in our hearts. He wants to know exactly who we are and how we think. Are we lying to ourselves? Are we lying to God when we say, oh yeah, I believe in God. I trust in God. I depend on God. Need to take a self-examination on that one. All of us do. We're not as smart as we think we are. So before we get into any serious spiritual problems, we need to consider what kind of a relationship, what kind of closeness do we have with God? To not have to worry about things and to have peace of mind is a blessing from God. And some of that blessing is a safe place to be. When you don't have to worry about things, you can be content. You can say, well, you know, I have taken care of that. I have gone to our Father, our God in heaven. I have prayed. I have explained my problems with Him. And He has heard me. And He knows that I am speaking from faith in my heart. And I give up on myself, and I'm turning it over to God to work this out for me. That's what God wants to hear from me and you. He wants to hear that we trust Him with our lives. Who else would you think about trusting? We were created. We just didn't pop up one day. We were created, and He knew all about us before He formed us in the womb. He knows us now. Our brains will lie to ourselves and to Him or whoever, but our heart that He looks on to tells Him exactly who we are. Now we have to understand that, knowing that, hey, I had better get in line. I had better have in my heart exactly what is pleasing our Father, what He wants us to do in that trust and that faith. And are we letting His light shine through us? Talk a little bit more about that a little bit later here. Well, at this time of the year, let's go back a little bit here. At this time of the year, we are in the midst of one of Satan's most powerful ways to keep mankind in darkness. You know, with all these pagan holidays that he has created. And he makes the world believe that they are obeying God and pleasing God by celebrating what they think is the birth of Christ. Well, what's that tell you right off the bat right there? They evidently weren't able to understand what is written in the Bible. They haven't read the Bible. They have listened to the commercials on TV. They have listened to the false preachers around the world talking about, oh yeah, we are going to do this great thing. We are going to celebrate the birth of Christ. They don't know, and the preachers don't know either, that they're not supposed to be doing that in the first place. But what a plan of deception. You know, it's actually kind of comical, you know, to have this so-called Santa Claus guy, you know, that's going to make the rounds all around the world and come down the chimney and bring toys to all the kids and, you know, and do this all just in a magical way. You know, I can't watch Disney movies anymore. They have this occult and magical things all the way through every one of their programs. They have Satan and demons in every one of their movies, every one of their programs. And this blatant deception that Satan is doing, the world's fallen for it, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, the little kids can tell that it's not real, but they go along with it, of course, because they're being baited with all these gifts. It's another proof that Satan is a liar and the father of it. So why should we even want to follow Satan and his demons? And the excuse is for these pagan holidays is that, oh, it's for the kids. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand that, you know, it's a nice thing for the kids and families get together. They have a big dinner. Everybody's happy. God has to be pleased with that, doesn't he? It's for the kids. And, you know, Satan has also deceived the entire world that the people go out and they go into debt paying for at least the whole next year for these gifts that they're buying, thinking that they are doing what God wants them to do. They don't know, but they have bet their life on what their minister has told them in these so-called churches around the world, thinking that they are doing what God wants them to do. They haven't looked into the Bible for themselves. They haven't been seeking God. They would find God if in their heart they really, really, really wanted to seek God and wanted to obey God. Then God does the calling. God the Father does the calling. And then, of course, turns us over to Jesus Christ to work with us for the rest of our lives. But they think they are doing what God wants them to do. And here's another big thing about it as well, too, where Satan has the hammer on the economies of the world. Businesses and economies of most countries would go bankrupt without the celebration and the trickery that Satan has deceived. In fact, they even broadcast the economic numbers, and they're saying, "Well, yeah, we're going to start Christmas a little bit sooner this year, even before the Thanksgiving Day. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, because we got to have the numbers up. We have to make our numbers for our company. Otherwise, we're in trouble." Satan has the hammer on this world, and people are believing this stuff lock, stock, and barrel, completely, without even caring about what the truth is. They don't have to read the Bible. You can read the World Book Encyclopedia and tell exactly where Christmas and Easter and Halloween and all these pagan things come from. So all they have to do is look. And they call themselves intelligent, well-educated? I don't think so. God has shown us his light. And with that light, he has shown us his laws, his Sabbath, his holy days, that he has commanded us to keep. He made it very plain. These are holy convocations. Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, the weekly Sabbath, and his annual holy days. And each one of those holy days shows a step that parts that we need that will take us into God's coming kingdom. He has shown us exactly how we are to obey him and what days that we are supposed to keep. It's hard to tell the world that because, again, I have to say this, you know, they are not called. But we are called to follow God's light of life. We are called to be representatives of the one who has created not only us, but has created the entire universe and everything that there is. Why would we have any urges or doubts? Why would we want to follow anyone else? They can run some Christmas music on the radios. Oh, it's beautiful music. Satan has picked out some of the finest melodies, and the words, you know, are so soothing and sung by the best singers probably, and it's for the kids, they say. But just think of the position and plan that God has placed me and you in. The position that we are in, we are to be shining the light that God has shown us through our example, through our relationship with God, through our belief that we have in him, that God has put into us. We have been sanctified. We have been set apart from this world. And it's easy to forget that sometimes, with all of the broadcast that is going on around the world that Satan is providing, and with the neighbors, you say, well, you know, I really don't want to embarrass the neighbors. And, you know, when they say, hey, Merry Christmas, you know, what are you to do? Oh, did you see that truck go by? Change the subject. Change the subject completely. But God has put this wonderful calling into us to know. Let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Start reading verse 1. Let you turn to it there, if you will. John spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." God the Father does the calling. And if we have a willing heart, if we are wanting to obey God, he takes the scales off of our eyes, gives us more understanding, and then he turns us over to Jesus Christ for Christ to work with us and give us more understanding, which increases our faith and our trust in God the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We know that God the Father turned to Jesus and he said, "I have a job for you. You're going to be born through a woman there on earth. You're going to bring the good news of my coming kingdom. And you're going to die and be the sacrifice to pay the sin price for all humanity. Because without you, without that, and without your sacrifice, there's no hope. There's a price that has to be paid for sin. Jesus paid that price." Verse 4, "I have glorified you on the earth," Jesus is saying to God the Father. "I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have shown your name, told your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world, called out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They had faith in the light, in the truth that you were showing them. They have kept your word because they trusted and depended on you." Is what he is implying there. Verse 7. "Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world," talking about me and you. "These are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." Let's drop down to verse 14. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Why? Because with this calling, with this truth, with this light that God has given us through his truth, we have been sanctified. We have been separated from the world. They don't think like we do. And hopefully we don't think like them. And we don't want to fall back into that. We want to make our election sure. We want God to be able to look on our hearts and read our hearts and say, "Yes, this person is with me." Verse 15, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." No, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Yes, we're going to live our life in this world, but Jesus prayed for us. prayed for us to God the Father to keep us from the evil one, Satan and his demons and the tricks that they are pulling, not only trying on us, trying very hard on us because we are the called. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Why? Because your word is truth. That is the light that God has put in us to show us the way, his truth, if we follow it, if we obey it. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Why? We are to be that example that we are to follow Jesus Christ's example and be that example, an extension of him. He is the vine. We are the branches. He wants us to grow. He wants us to do the job that we are called to do. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. We are set apart by the truth of God. And he has put that light in us to guide us through our life and for us to show others when they see the example that we set, that we hopefully we set. That's what we have to make sure that we are doing. God's word is truth. There in John 17:17. God's word is truth. And yes, we are spreading the good news around the world. You know, we have the Beyond Today magazines and also the Beyond Today program. But most of all, it's our personal example that God wants us to show on a local level, wherever we are living, wherever we're at, wherever we work, wherever we go to school. It's our example that God wants us to shine his light and give him the glory for everything. God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, loves every human that has ever lived. Have you heard, I guess it was just about a week or two ago, Charles Manson died. You know, he was created by God. Hitler was created by God. Osama bin Laden was created by God. You and I were created by God. You know, and they will all get their chance to be taught and to choose rightly. Could be that one of us in here will be teaching some of those people. But God the Father and Jesus Christ loves every human that has ever lived. And they have maybe have done some horrible, horrible crimes in their life. What is God? God is love, and he wants his children to repent of their sins, take advantage of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and really mean it, and repent of their sins. Well, the world today is not going to let anybody repent of their sins. If you do something in this life that is wrong, the world is going to judge you for life. But does God do that? No. If we truly repent and believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, then our sins are forgotten as far as east is from west, according to God. That doesn't mean that the world's going to stop judging you, because they will continue to do that. But the kingdom of God will be made up of those who follow the light of God's truth. That's who's going to be in the kingdom of God. God is in the process of harvesting humans to be in his family. We are his children that he is working with right now. But of course, all of us must have that willing heart to be in total obedience, to follow that light that he is showing us. He's showing us how to live. We can't walk both sides of the street, though. We have to choose one side or the other and be willing to let God teach us and to test us and to train us up to be like him. To be in God's family, we have to be like him and think as he does. How does he think? Oh, he thinks from the love standpoint because he is love. How much slack are we cutting each other? How much slack are we cutting the people that we work with and go to school with or driving down I-65 with? There's a whole lot of impatient people that can make you very, very angry. And it's best to let someone go ahead and not try to get all riled up with what they are doing. We all have to fight that ourselves. God is gathering those who will be in his spiritual family. He's choosing us as we choose him. He wants to see how we are doing. Which leads us, we have to ask ourselves, am I living in the light of life? Well, the light of life, I mean, those words all sound fine. But the light of life is to live rightly in obedience to God. We don't want to be drifting away. We have to ask ourselves, too, have I been dozing off or falling asleep? Have I been just taking it easy and coasting for a while, thinking, well, you know, I've heard every sermon over these years that you could ever dream of, and I have proven years and years ago, yes, there is the Sabbath and God's holy days. It's probably all I need to do. That is called coasting. And we could be actually starving ourselves spiritually. We don't want to coast because if we are not partaking and eating of God's spiritual food and without realizing it, we could be on very dangerous ground. We could be starving spiritually. Some people say, well, you know, here I am. I'm in my 90s and, you know, I just have to slow down a little bit here. No, you don't. Wrong time to slow down. God is in charge of the numbers of days and the hours that we are going to live. And he is looking at us, looking at our heart all the way through and until our heart stops. God's Holy Spirit living in us must be fed by God's Holy Spirit. And how do we receive that? Again, we are to read God's Word and have that communion with God in our prayers. God's truth has been given to us as a precious, precious gift. I won't keep you much longer, but in closing, we need to remember that our Heavenly Father is a very, very jealous God. He didn't bring us to this point for us to fail. And if it takes some skinned knees to get us back on track, if he has to shake us real hard as a church to wake us up, I want to make a point of that. Are we doing all we can do to stay awake doing what God wants us to do? Are we weak as a church? Are we getting stronger? Where do we stand? It's an individual question. We need to think about that. He sent his son Jesus to this earth for the sake of all of us, and to bring us the good news of his kingdom, which we talked about earlier there, paid the price for us. But this precious calling that God has given us is a fantastic blessing to be called out of the numbers of all the people that's ever been born in the world, and to offer us eternal life, to live forever. You've heard me say this before, too. You know, we are being judged right now, not for the second resurrection. We're being judged right now to be in the first resurrection. And why is it the best one? Because if we die, and at the return of Christ, and if we have everything in order with God, we will be changed to a spirit being. Now, the people that haven't had their opportunity yet will be raised in the second resurrection from flesh to flesh. And they will live approximately 100 years to be taught, to be tested, to be tried, and to choose rightly if they choose to. But they will go from flesh to flesh. We want to go from flesh to spirit. You can ask anybody that's been in a hospital with an operation or anything serious wrong with them, and they'll say, yes, I would love to shed this physical body. I would love to be a spirit being without any pain, any hurt, and to be living in God's family. We have had our eyes opened. The light of God's truth, His master plan for us to be children in His family, is something we better hold on to, something that we all had better wake up more vividly in our minds and in this church. So the decision is on us, individually, to make the right choices in this life and to decide, are we going to just doze off in this life, or are we going to take advantage of this wonderful offer that God has called us to? I hope we all choose to stay awake. I hope we all choose not to do any sleeping, so to speak, spiritually. But to be on fire for what? To please God. And we know what we have to do to please God. We have to be obedient. We have to be trusting. We have to depend on God for every breath, everything that we do, everything we think and say. Go to God with any problem that you have. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just have that communion with Him constantly. Again, to close out, in John chapter 8, verse 12, you don't have to turn there. I've already mentioned it before. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Good to see all of you.